Hello and welcome to our Food is Medicine podcast, brought to you by patrickholford.com. To help you take control of your weight, come and join our 6 weeks to a slimmer you virtual weight loss program. There are three factors to losing weight and keeping it off: the right nutrition, the right exercise, and doing it. We guarantee you a result in 6 weeks or your money back. Please visit www.patrickholford.com/weight-loss for details.
Hello, my name is Patrick Holford, and I've been exploring for the past 30 years what it is that actually helps you lose weight fast, but also gain health. My interest is in how to be super healthy, but also have stable weight. And I've been interested for a long time in the effect of calories and also low-calorie diets and how they might work to not only obviously lose weight, but affect your health. Recently, there's been a lot of really interesting research and results in a different way of doing diets called the alternate day diet, which involves eating about 20% less of your body calories every other day. And what's really exciting about this kind of approach, especially if you combine it with low GL eating, low glycemic load, which I'm going to explain, it seems to switch on genes that keep you young and healthy and at the right weight, and also switch off genes that trigger aging and disease. Now, let's kind of go through a bit of the history to understand why this approach might be the holy grail we've all been looking for. Back in the 1980s, I got very interested when I was working and running the Institute for Optimum Nutrition in the work of an extraordinary man called Professor Roy Walford, who is a professor of gerontology, that is the study of aging. And he had shown very clearly that you can extend the lifespan of animals by up to 50% by feeding them very low calories. Now, it even works for primates. It's not very popular because it's very hard to do, but there are a group of people under his guidance called cronies, the CR stands for calorie restriction, who have been doing this, eating very low calories, usually between 1,200 and 1,500 calories a day. And although it's not easy, what he was able to show was it really improves how the energy factories within our cells called mitochondria actually work. So you seem to make more energy, you have better protein production, and there are all sorts of markers of health, such as blood pressure, blood sugar, and also weight. You know, all of this improves. Another example of the effect of a low-calorie approach was a study last year which took 11 diabetics and put them onto a very low-calorie diet, 600 calories, for 8 weeks. And amazingly, 7 out of the 11 came out of diabetes. Now, all of this is really interesting, but once again, it's really hard to follow. And you have to be a fanatic because you're going to have to put up with feeling cold and living on the edge of hunger for most of the time. So it's not really a sustainable thing. And at this point in time, even though the animal studies are good, we don't know for sure that you would actually live longer. So we could say that the benefit is not proven and the risk, or at least the suffering, is too much for most people. But what Roy Walford didn't know was exactly how or why this low-calorie approach worked. And the theory at the time was that when you're making less energy, you're eating less food, you're generating less oxidants, which are the body's equivalent of exhaust fumes, and they have an aging effect on the body. So the principle was to give these animals really top level of nutrients, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, but low calories, and they would be super efficient, a sort of lean, mean fighting machine. And he did find that his CR mice were more physically active. And, you know, lived longer and were healthier. But then there was a big jump in 2007 onwards when Professor Cynthia Kenyon at the University of California in San Francisco wondered what this calorie restriction was doing to gene activity. So she put the human equivalent of lab rats, these little roundworms, onto the low-calorie diets. And what she found was that one gene in particular was turned off by the CR diet, the low-calorie diet. And to her surprise, it was the one that normally makes more insulin available. And even more of a surprise was finding that turning the insulin gene off turned on another one, which controls a cascade of extensive cell repair processes. And by tinkering with these genes, she was able to breed worms that lived for twice their normal 20-day lifespan. And more recently, with sophisticated techniques, she's been able to genetically engineer one of these worms to live for the human equivalent of 450 years. So discovering this genetic mechanism opened up ways to make healthy lifestyle changes in a much more focused way, and it has also revolutionized aging research. For example, according to Professor of Clinical Studies at Bristol University, Jeff Holly, he says, 10 years ago, we thought aging was probably the result of a slow decay, a sort of rusting or oxidation. But this research has shown that it's not about wear and tear, but instead it is controlled by genes. And that opens up the possibility of slowing it down, says Professor Holly. Now, the key appears to be reducing the amount of insulin in your bloodstream. And all those refined sugars and carbohydrates that you just can't resist, they actually promote the release of insulin, because when your blood sugar goes up, you release more insulin. And what Dr. Kenyon found was if she gave these worms a little bit of sugar, it actually switched on a gene called the Grim Reaper, which is what makes you age. And it switched off this set of genes nicknamed Sweet 16, which are the ones that really slow down the aging process. And these Sweet 16 genes, which in humans we call FOXO, they improve the way that natural antioxidants can work in the body. They dampen down damaging oxidants. So one of the mechanisms that's being learned from the genetics is you want to get your insulin down. And the other is you want to, in a way, get your antioxidants up. So reduce oxidation. And eating exactly what you need and no more is certainly one of those factors. Now, I all find this very consistent, because I've been promoting a low GL, or glycemic load diet, for years. And we have seen fantastic results in people not only losing weight, about 7 kilos a month. We have many people who've achieved that without going hungry, but also people report a lot more energy, better health, their blood pressure comes down, their cholesterol comes down. There are all sorts of factors that suggest that this low GL approach is right. So to understand that a bit better, when your blood sugar goes up from eating carbohydrates or bread or rice or pasta or even fruits and sugar, the body releases insulin. Insulin's job is to take the excess sugar into storage as fat. So it's the fat-storing hormone. So it takes the sugar out of your blood to the liver turns it into fat. Now, the more often your blood sugar is going high, the more you become resistant to insulin or insensitive to insulin. And this is to do with receptors for insulin, which exist both in the arteries, but also in the brain and the muscles and the liver. These receptors become blunted, less effective. And the more insulin resistant you become, and significant proportion of people, if they were tested, are already insulin resistant, then the more insulin the body has to make. And the more insulin you make, the more it switches your genes in the wrong direction towards not only aging faster, but gaining weight faster. So what you want is low insulin. And that means eating a low glycemic load diet. Now, in essence, there are two extremes of how you would do that. One, which was pioneered by Dr. Robert Atkins, basically means no carbs. So protein and fat don't raise your blood sugar. So he advocated eating lots of protein and fat and no carbs. And it's true, you do lose weight and things like cholesterol come down. At the time, it was complete heresy, but I think people are beginning to take that approach more seriously. Now the other extreme is not to avoid carbohydrates, but eat those that release their sugar content much more slowly. So this is your brown rice rather than white rice, and oats rather than a refined cereal, that kind of thing. And that also works, because if you have slow-releasing carbs, the body doesn't have to produce anything like as much insulin. So both are low GL. Now, and which is better? You know, here is the question. Now, even though high-protein, high-fat diets do produce weight loss, it doesn't look like they're the right way to go. Those diets are very dependent on a lot of meat and a lot of dairy products. And even though dairy products release their sugar content quite slowly, so in a sense they're low GL, they actually promote the release of a type of insulin called insulin-like growth factor, or IGF-1. And this insulin factor, like regular insulin, also switches on the Grim Reaper genes that make you age. So you don't want a lot of this around at all. And meat also has the same effect of raising levels of IGF-1. So a lot of anti-aging researchers are moving away from a diet with lots of meat and dairy products, which is actually what I've been recommending for a long time. By the way, in case you don't know, having a higher level of IGF-1, that's insulin-like growth factor, is also very strongly associated with increasing risk of cancer, particularly the hormonal cancers like prostate and breast. So, for example, according to a study carried out by the National Cancer Institute, 19 out of 23 studies show an association between the more dairy intake, the higher the rate of prostate cancer. And the same relationship is also true for breast cancer and colorectal cancer. Now, the importance of keeping your insulin down, which is achieved by a low GL diet, and also keeping IGF-1 down, which is achieved by not having lots of dairy products and meat, is doubly clear when we look at a rather interesting community of dwarfs who live in North Ecuador who are cancer-free. They actually miss a gene that controls IGF-1, so in effect they're deficient in insulin. And this has an upside, which is they're cancer-free. They also are much less likely to suffer from heart disease or obesity. However, they don't grow. So when IGF is down, at least it stops the risk of these very, very sort of common killer diseases. Now, in 2010, a Harvard geneticist, Dr. Kevin Stroll, made a surprising discovery when he found that 300 genes linked with tumor growth were also connected with obesity, heart disease, and diabetes. So now we start to see that there's a real link between cancer and these other diseases. And many of these genes affect insulin. So it seems like keeping your insulin down has tremendous repercussions for your health, both for cancer and heart disease, but also for obesity. Now, there are two ways to keep your insulin down. One is to eat a low glycemic load diet. And in my books, such as the Low GL Diet Bible and other books like Low GL Diet Cookbook, I explain exactly how you do this. And if you want to cut to the chase, go to patrickholford.com/weightloss and you'll find out about these books and approaches. But the other way to lower your insulin is to improve sensitivity. Remember, the more often your blood sugar goes up, the more insulin you produce, the more insensitive you become to insulin. The insulin receptors shut down. But those receptors are dependent on a mineral called chromium. Chromium literally makes the insulin receptor work. And there are a lot of studies now that show that if you supplement chromium, you can actually improve insulin sensitivity, which means you need to make less. Also, the herb cinnamon has an effect on stabilizing blood sugar levels, and a particular extract within cinnamon does this. So I give people who want to, you know, reduce their insulin, reduce their weight, reduce their sugar cravings, and, for example, you know, help recover from diabetes or stay diabetes-free, I recommend supplementing chromium and also this extract of cinnamon. So that's a little bit of the background. But obviously, eating low GL diet is very good. Eating low calorie is good. But as I said earlier, nobody really likes to eat low calories all the time. It's just not possible. But then there was this discovery in, you know, in the last 8 years that in animals, if you give animals low calorie every other day, you also get the same genetic switching. You also get the same beneficial effect. And that's where it gets really interesting, because that's much more doable. Now, one of the guys heading research on this at the National Institute of Aging is Dr. Mark Mattson. He's a neuroscientist. And he found that rats on an every other day schedule did just as well as their relatives on the grueling calorie restriction or CR diet. And again, this approach has much wider health benefits. In one study, asthma patients lost 8% of their body weight, but they also saw a dramatic drop in levels of inflammation, and their symptoms of wheezing and shortness of breath also greatly improved. In another study on overweight patients, they dropped in a significant amounts of weight, more than usual, and also they got this reduction in inflammation. And in one animal study, this alternate day dieting reduced inflammation, but it also increased the level of another gene, which is called the sirtuin gene, sometimes nicknamed the skinny gene. You might have heard of resveratrol. Resveratrol is a very interesting antioxidant, and it's found in the skins of grapes, red grapes, and the red skin of peanuts. And what's fascinating about resveratrol is it also seems to switch on sirtuin, this anti-aging gene. And the drug company GlaxoSmithKline, GSK, bought a company doing research on resveratrol for $700 million. So obviously there's something quite intriguing going on here. And they set up a really substantial trial on resveratrol, which, for reasons that I'm not clear of, have been abandoned. And I suspect what's going on is that what's being discovered is synthetic, patentable versions of compounds that, obviously, if they're patentable, they're more profitable, are also being shown to affect genetic expression in this positive way. So that's an area that I'm watching. Now, other researchers have looked at the effect of doing 1 day a week fasting. So some are looking at every other day on lower calories. Some are looking at 1 day a week complete fasting. Some are looking at whether 3 days a week modified fasting has the same genetic effect. So we're still in an area of, you know, exploring exactly what is that right strategy. And one study by a lady called Dr. Klempel at the University of Illinois has also looked at what the up day, the eating day, should be like. So she put people onto this alternate day modified fast, and then on the day after, one group ate low fat and the other group ate high fat. And actually, it made no difference. Now, that wasn't that surprising to me, I have to say, because the key factor that switches on the skinny genes is the release of insulin, and that is achieved not by eating or not eating fat, it's achieved by eating a low GL diet. So I suspect that on your eating day, if you eat lower GL, which means less insulin, that'll probably be even better. So we're still exploring exactly what that perfect strategy is. Now, what does all this do? Because you imagine that if every other day or 3 days a week, which is what I propose, that you are eating lower calories, does it make you more tired? Does it make you more, physically and mentally fatigued? Well, at least in relation to animal studies, it seems to do exactly the opposite. Animals on alternate day programs actually become more mentally alert. They have more mental energy. And one of the reasons for that is that you get improved insulin sensitivity, and when your insulin is working better, it's more able to turn blood sugar into energy. And also, animal studies show a clear slowing down of the aging process and risk for diseases of aging, including heart disease. So, where I've got to with this is to have 3 days in the week where you have lower calories. You don't have to starve, but you want to get down to something approaching 600 calories during those days. But not just any old calories, because, again, it seems to be insulin that's key. So what you eat is a low glycemic load diet, or what I maybe would say is a very low glycemic load diet on those 3 days. And in between, rather than gorging on anything, again, you eat low GL foods, but the quantity is not so important. Now, many of our volunteers who are now trying out this kind of approach find that on the feast days, when you can eat much more food, they just don't feel that hungry. So on those days, they apply simple low GL principles. For example, one of them is whenever you eat carbohydrate, you always eat protein. And that is because when you eat protein with carbohydrate, it slow releases the carbohydrate. It's digested more slowly. And when you have a slower release of glucose into the blood, you produce less insulin. So in practical terms, that means, you know, egg on toast, you know, rather than jam on toast. Now, something else is interesting. It seems that exercising helps this whole process of gene switching. And sometimes you might think, well, if I'm on a low-calorie diet, should I not exercise? But most of our volunteers report that exercising on the fasting days is no problem. Now, one of the other findings that's getting very consistent is the importance to do exercise that builds muscle. Now, muscle helps to reverse insulin resistance and many of the diseases that we've spoken about. And also, muscle absorbs sugar. So if you have no muscle and your blood sugar goes very high and insulin is released, you've got no ability to absorb that glucose. It's just going to be largely dumped in the liver, which then turns into fat. So you want to have more muscle because it can burn glucose for energy rather than dumping it as fat. And also it reverses insulin resistance. So we've been working with Kate Staples, an athlete and former gladiator, you might remember, Zodiac. And she's devised an 8-minute routine that you do every other day that both builds lean muscle and keeps you fit. And then a couple of times a week, you also do a 30-minute power walk or cardio session. Now, if you'd like to find out how to do my alternate low-GL diet and exercise routine, simply go to patrickholford.com/weightloss, and you will find that there is a free, full special report which gives you the daily plan, what you eat, what you do in the way of exercise, so you can really get involved in this. We also have started a 6-week virtual coaching group that you can do anywhere in the world. And when you join this, it's called 6 Weeks to Success. You get everything that you could possibly need. You instantly get all the recipes. You get a manual which explains exactly what to do and a workbook. And as you work through the workbook week by week, we will guide you because you get 6 coaching sessions. And 2 of those are pre-recorded. One is from me where I really explain exactly how to do the low GL diet. And 1 is from Kate, so she shows you exactly how to do the exercises. And the other 4 are alive, so you will have your own personal coach that you can plug into week by week, ask them questions, they will guide you through the process. If you're getting stuck anywhere or have any barriers or obstacles, they are going to help you to overcome them. Now, this approach, we are getting some wonderful feedback. I'm not going to read you lots of testimonials, that would be boring, but I'll just give you one as an example. This is a doctor up in Scotland, and she started to follow the alternate day dieting approach, basing it on low GL. She also took certain supplements that I recommend in the free special report that you can get on the website. And here's a couple of comments. She said, "Upshot is huge improvement in mental energy. I am now exercising again without major problems." She used to have chronic fatigue and a lot of joint pain. "Joint pain improved, skin improved. I can get out of bed in the morning without it being a major act of willpower. I've lost 12 pounds in 4 weeks, plus 10 centimeters off my waist. 4 weeks ago, I would not have believed this possible. So, very, very interesting results. And once again, if you'd like to find out exactly how to do this, go to patrickholford.com/weightloss.
Thank you for listening to our Food is Medicine podcast. To find out more about the Alternate Day Diet, Patrick's books on weight loss, or to claim your free special report on the Alternate Day Low GL Diet, please visit www.patrickholford.com/weightloss.